feel like we've like joked about getting sponsors like a million times.
We have. Would love a quip. Maybe just even a free toothbrush. That would just be nice.
Okay.
That's it. Just one free toothbrush.
Just one free toothbrush.
That you we know, have to split like, between the two of us.
They're like $3 at Target. You can.
That's not true. Inflation.
There's very cheap toothbrushes that you can buy, Chad.
Maybe not here in LA.
Okay, that's fair. Why? How much? How much do toothbrushes cost in LA?
Well, I don't remember, but I remember going to the store last time and thinking it was not as cheap as it used to be.
Interesting.
But anyway, this isn't about toothbrushes or Quip, which is not a sponsor of ours.
Quip,
this episode is...
get your teeth clean. I don't know what they're saying.
Do they have one? Well, anyway, so this isn't about...
this is not about this, inflation.
This is about girls and falls and acts.
I feel like this is kind of an episode of season twos, because yes. I know we haven't discussed hacks before, but all of
have
these shows, no.
Oh, I thought we had. Okay,
I don't
continue.
Think so. I think we've talked about hacks. but yeah, all of these shows have two seasons, so that's what they have in common. I'm gonna go with that. And they're comedies.
Yeah, much like our previous episode. These are, you know, I guess, wouldn't these be sitcoms, I guess? Situational comedies, kind of.
I would call Girls 5 Eva and Rutherford Falls, I would call them more sitcoms than I would call Hacks a sitcom. Hacks is like, I saw somebody on like Twitter or whatever describe it as an unfunny comedy. And I was like, yeah, that's kind of true. Like, that's kind of accurate. Like, it has the notes of a comedy, but it's kind of not, you're not sitting there going like, ha ha, that's so fun. Like, it's not. You're just kind of like, because oh.
I guess because it's kind of more of a slice of life of a comedian.
It's kind of dramedy. Is that your phone?
Probably.
Okay. What is that noise? So yeah, do you want to start with Girls and Rutherford?
Yeah, you know what? Let's start with Rutherford, because I was talking about that before we started.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Is it weird to say that I'm more... I can't say disappointed. I'm definitely not disappointed in this second season, but I lost a little bit of the luster that I got from the first season. I don't know. Maybe it's because the first season had so much opposition going on. There was like the it wasn't even mayoral campaign, because she like stepped in as mayor or something, didn't she? Or no, she had been voted mayor.
I don't remember.
Black mayor.
Yeah.
I think she had been voted the first black mayor, and she stepped into a different position that was like higher up. So she was just like upward trajectory. So like there was that going on. There was the whole, you know, needing to get the museum out of the casino, and then like the kind of casino owner having his own like personal ideations going on, and then the museum. And then with season two, because so much of that had changed at the end of season one, I feel like we lost a lot of that opposition, and now we were just like left with like, oh, how this town has changed. It was like one of those types of seasons or something, like this is the aftermath and how it kind of affects people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think also like this season felt like, like, it was just, like, the in-between of, like, other events.
Yeah.
So it was, like, you had season one and, like, a bunch was going on. And then I think, I don't know if they got picked up for a season three, but, like, I feel like season three will be more, if they do, like, season three is going to be more like, okay, there's a bunch of stuff going on. Like, season two is just kind of like, well, this is what happened in between all those other things that happened. Because we kind of had a lot of, like, I don't know. Yeah, it just felt very, like, okay. Because the other white guy, not at Helms, like, he wasn't even there, and then he came back, and then you had Ed Helms, like, trying to get the mayor to, like, accept him as a father, and, like, all this, like, sort of, like, we were sort of building towards something, but, like, not a lot was happening, right? So, like, now we have where we're at the end of season two, I feel like, is more interesting than, like, actually how we got there. So,
yeah,
those are kind of my feelings on it, but I didn't dislike it because I do like this show, and I like the characters, and I will watch anything that's like, this is a little town full of people, and here's what happens. Like, you know, I just like it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I feel like most of what I did like about this season was, God, I forgot what her name is. Regan. There we go. It was like, not Reagan. Regan. I liked the episode where she had to go figure out how to get land, and she had to go through, like, all this bureaucratic BS just to get land.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, she was just like, oh, I'm just going to mark out this land because this is my land, and I'm going to build a house here.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, you know, that's great, but at the end of the day, it's like, you still, all that work, and you still got to build a house.
I know, but I feel, I mean, I know. Agree. That's kind of what it feels like being an adult, though.
Yeah.
It's like, I went through all of that, and I still have to do work. I mean, I really liked that because I was like, oh, yeah, like, I do feel like this show gives us a perspective on the Native American, like, the modern Native American life, what, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, oh, like, we have these land things that we have to go through all this bullshit to get, and, like, da 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 da, and, like, her dating the, now she's, like, dating a Native American guy, and, like, there's that sort of, like, that whole, like, inner tribe thing where he was fighting the other guy, and, like, it was like, oh, well, we're known for this, well, we're known for this, and it was just very, like, it was very interesting. And so I feel like this show is good in that aspect of, like, we're going to show you what the modern version of this looks like, you know?
Yeah, modern courting? Courtship? Dating? What was it called back in the day? Like, was it courting back then?
Back when?
You know, olden times. And I mostly attribute olden times to like literary references, I guess. So, like, whatever they used to call it in books. I feel like it was courting.
Sure. We'll call it that. But no, like, even like the episode where they went on the TV show set, and it was just like all this ridiculous, like, stereotypes and all, you know, stuff like that. It's like things that we know, but we don't really talk about in terms of Native Americans today. And now we have this show, and we have, like, Reservation Dogs, and, like, so anyway, I think it's a good, I do think it's good in terms of some sort of representation. I feel like I got a little off track there.
No, I feel you. I agree. I just feel like they got a little lost.
Well, what you were saying before we started recording was, like, you had, like, Bobby Yang and, like, the other stuff going on. So, like, yay diversity. Like, it was a little bit of that. But, I mean, yeah.
Yeah. I love that this is a diverse story. It's just kind of, I don't know, because I feel like maybe it was because the first season was so, and I mean, that can kind of happen with shows like this in general, where so much of the premise hinges on getting that diverse inclusion or getting that, I don't know, validation for whatever you're doing. And that once you get it, it's like, okay, what now? So you have to like figure out what the show is after that big thing. And because season one had so much shifts, especially with like, you know, them thinking that, because I can't even remember what happened with Ed Helms' character in the first season. Maybe it's because I didn't like his character so much that I'm blocking out his storyline. But I just remember him getting disgraced and being like, his family being seen as like the takers of the land versus like the founders.
Yeah.
As they were supposed to be.
That was most of it, right? It was like, it was just a bunch of stuff about the like, the house that they, the museum. And so then it was just him going through like his whole family thing and then finding out, oh, he's not actually related to them and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I do like that we started the season where he was like hiding in the attic.
That was funny. Because I was like, where was he going to go? Because he was like, I'm going to leave. And I'm like, and go where?
Yeah. And I do like their friendship a lot. I mean, you know, it's so rare that we just see like a male-female friendship that is just like...
purely platonic and...
yeah.
Looking to, you know, flourish the best in one another. I get that.
Yeah. I do enjoy their
dynamic. I did really like the Bobby Yang election arc. That was funny.
It was funny, and especially when, like, the, what's the casino owner's? I don't remember his name, but just his whole thing, like.
I was going to say, you asked me, and you know we don't do fact-checking here. But I'm going to go look it up, because I feel like I need to know his name. Terry.
I feel like it's Terry. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay, great. but just like when Bobby was like, you realize you're like using me, right? Like, and this is your own shit that you need to sort out.
I also love the, that he had this huge online following of like old people, and he was just like, old people vote. And I'm like, yeah, they're probably the only ones who will go vote. So you will probably win this election.
Yeah, that's how we've gotten many of our presidents.
It is true.
It's old people be voting. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of all I have to say about it, about season two. I do like the show. I really hope it gets to season three.
I mean, I will continue to watch it for as long as it's on. I'm definitely all for inclusion and whatnot. It's just, you know, you can only be as excited as the story makes you.
I mean, it is also produced by Michael Schur, and we know how I feel about him, so.
And we know how I feel.
Heterosexual propaganda, Michael Schur. Yeah.
So, girls. Five Eva.
Girls, five Eva.
Came back for a squeakquel. And this go round.
So good if they had named it the squeakquel. Okay, so again, I feel like this is a very in-between season. Like, we had a lot of character building. We had a lot of, like, oh, we're working towards this, you know? Like, when they, at the end of the season, when they like got in that van and they were like, we're going on tour. I was like, well, I want to see next season because nothing happened this season.
I know. I thought this season was going to be the season they go on tour because it seems like they were recording the album really quickly and I thought they were going to be done by episode two.
Oh. But I feel like they're stretching it out. like, I feel like they're stretching out the story, you know?
Yeah.
Did they get picked up? Do you know if either of these shows got picked up?
No.
Okay.
I think they were trying to, like, give it room to breathe or something, like, with them writing this album. Because, I mean, in general, like, writing an album can be a very grueling process for, like, most artists. So, I understand.
Except for Taylor Swift, apparently.
Yep. Who just cranks them out.
When you and Megan, this is so unrelated, when you and Megan were doing the music episode that you guys did at the end of last year, you had said that our crossover artist was Taylor Swift on Spotify, and I just want to clear the air and say that I am I am not that big of a fan of hers. I think that you and I just
I have to laugh because you're like, let me clarify, I am not a Swiftie.
I'm not. Just I think that you and I have such different tastes in music that there's like only a handful of artists where we cross over.
And that is true. And I just think it's very funny that you had to make a very public statement about it.
Well, it just, we were talking, I brought her up.
Has someone approached you in your normal life about this? Like, so I heard you like Taylor Swift. You're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let me go make a statement.
Listen to your stupid podcast. No, it just, I brought her up and I was like, oh, wait, let me say this because, anyway. Back to girls. I know that sounds like I'm deep in denial and that I do nothing but listen to Taylor Swift records in my spare time.
Hey, you know, it happens to the best of us.
But what the audience doesn't know won't hurt me.
won't hurt me specifically.
So, anyway. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like it would have been interesting if we had wrapped up the album very quickly and then gone on tour, but I also feel like they wanted to give the tour a whole season to itself. And I don't know. We went through a lot of character building with Dawn this season. Is this where she found out she was pregnant?
I think so, yeah. It was like at the end.
But did she... So she's going to be pregnant on tour, or right? Actually, now I don't remember what happens.
Did she not go get an abobo?
I don't think she did.
I thought she went and got an adult abobo. Like
adult abobo as opposed to...
A teen abobo.
Yeah, those are different.
Yeah, which is different from a young adult abobo.
Oh my god. Oh my god. What are these genres that you're assigning to abortions? You just go and you get it taken care of.
Well, they fall into different, you know, segments.
If you're
of
in
your
a
life.
Liberal state.
Yeah.
Rip.
But they fall in different segments of your life. Like when you're like older and you're like, oh no, I don't want to do this again. Stop.
What?
No, I mean, like, you know, these just, the genres fall in different segments of your life.
Okay, okay, sure. You mean the emotional weight of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I guess.
I don't remember her getting an abobo. I don't know.
Well, maybe I'm projecting, but I thought that happened.
I wish more fucking women on television would just, like, go and get abortions. Like, I wish that those were more storylines. Every time, like, pregnancy storylines piss me off so bad because they're just, like, they're just never tactfully done. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's always just, like, I don't know. I'm like, what if you don't want to have kids?
Yeah.
You know that that's how a lot of people feel.
That was,
I don't know.
That was actually a storyline on Grey's Anatomy with Christina Yang, which is why she's one of my favorite crazy. Well, not the only reason, but she is one of my favorite characters.
I mean, I know there's abortion storylines, but I feel like most of the time it's so dramatized, and it's like, I know that going to get an abortion is not like a quick little Saturday afternoon, like I understand that, but like it's either over dramatized or it's like just have the character go get one, like it's I don't know, I just
I just remembered Paula got one on Grey's, or not Grey's, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend.
She did. I liked that one. And I also liked, what's her name get one on, I'm sorry, I like blanked for a second
there. What, on Degrassi?
No, on, what was that show called? You're the Worst.
Okay.
I was like, we're calling it an Abobo that's from that show.
Oh, Heather Donahue's character? I think so.
Yeah, didn't she? Yeah.
Maybe. Either that or they were talking about her having one before.
Yeah, but, yeah. I know that that's where I got a Bobo from.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, no. We had Dawn's whole storyline this season. I did like the line about like female Ted lassoing. So I was like, it's true. Like, an audience would never root for a female character that was like, I left my kid and wife behind or whatever. But you know, make him a white guy and he's the lovable guy. He's Jason Sudeikis.
I know, it makes me think about that joke in Ali Wong's first stand-up, Baby Cobra, on Netflix, when she was like, shitty dad. Ha ha ha, that's hilarious. I relate. I relate to that. He makes jokes about being a bad dad, and his fame just swells.
It's true. Fucking true. Oh, man, don't get me started. We're already talking about abortions. Can't talk about the representation of mothers in media.
That's true.
Be here all night. And we can get to that when we talk about hacks next. Oh, I did also like at the end of Girls Five season 2 when Gloria was like, she went through that whole thing with her like girlfriend or whoever. Yeah. And then she got to the end and she was like, well, I have to go now.
She was like, I don't want to be in a relationship with you anymore. I want to be like free. And she was like, are you fucking kidding me?
That was great.
She's like, you can keep the apartment.
That was so great. Yeah. Those were kind of my thoughts.
Yeah. I was going to say, how'd you feel about, God, what's her name? What's the name of her character?
Busy Phillips?
No, the other one.
The other one? Wiki?
Yes, Wiki. There we go.
Wiki, Dicky, Ricky.
I was like,
Nikki and
Ricky, Dicky, Dicky, and Don.
Yep.
I always remember that show because it's such a stupid name. It's like Dog with a Blog. It's hard to forget.
Dog with a Blog is a great name, though.
It is.
And it was about a talking dog.
Was it, though?
Yes. What,
did the dog talk, or did they just have a blog for the dog?
No, that dog talked, and he typed out a fucking little computer. I'm telling you right now, look it up. But only the kids could hear him. The parents couldn't hear him. I'm pretty sure that's how. I never saw a whole episode of it.
Oh, the parents couldn't hear him typing? No.
Parents were like, oh, little Jimmy's working real hard on his homework. And you, like, cut to the dog, like,
at 3 a.m., real.
I swear to God, Dog with a Blog. I swear to God. Okay. So, moving on from Dog with a Blog.
Sorry, we had to pause to, like, fact check that for a moment.
Google, like, wouldn't show me images of Dog with a Blog. It, like, brought up the cast. I was like, it literally won't even, just says there's an error.
They won't go to images.
What's going on? Help.
But yeah, Wiki, her relationship with that lunch man.
Oh.
Lunch lord.
that was cute.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, it was really weird how long they were dragging it out. I'm just like, I mean, okay, I feel like Wiki, there are much bigger issues in a relationship other than that.
Like, yeah, I mean, I also feel like it's a very common trope of like, oh, but she fell in love. Oh, she actually likes him. And it's like, all right.
I know, but I'm a little surprised because I feel like, in particular, this, well, I won't say this show, but I'll say that they at least attempt to, like, subvert a lot of those things.
Yes. Yeah, I agree, which is why I feel like that plot, like, kind of didn't work for me on this show.
Yeah, I was waiting on him to flip and be, like, super vapid or something.
Yeah, but... or just something different. I mean, I feel like the fact that he was a lunch guy, they were like, this is different enough. Never seen one of those before.
He's actually just a really nice guy. And I'm like, okay, yeah. But, you know, he could also be, like, weird in some way. I don't know. Well, I guess the weird thing is he was, like, obsessed with being a lunch lord. He could only make food in large quantities.
I thought that was very funny. That was a classic, like, Tina Fey-esque joke.
Gag. Yeah. Sight, like, gag.
Yeah. It's a good visual joke. When they were making chicken nuggets. And she had to, like... Oh, that was disgusting. I literally couldn't even watch that. I was like, this is why I don't eat meat. Like,
I know that scene. I was like, this is really going to make some vegetarians either mad or just make a lot more of them. I don't know.
It was so gross. There was like a foot in there or something like that, or the beak or whatever. I was like, my thing is like, I feel like there's so much tension between Wiki and Dawn all the time. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. They just need to be in a throuple or something. I feel like that's the direction. Because the husband seems so cool. He seems like he'd be really chill with that.
He seems like he would be really chill being in a relationship with all of these women. I feel like all of the funny stuff from this season was just stuff revolving around Paula Pell's character.
Well, she's great. Paula Pell can do anything, truly. Yeah, when she was trying to flirt with all the women.
Yeah, I don't know. There really wasn't all that much going on in this season. I'm trying to remember anything else. I know them competing for that. The thing with the property brother. That was the one thing.
Oh my god, I completely forgot that they like lambasted the property brothers.
That was funny
when she was attacking them, and the one twin was like, just kill him. Do it. It's like, that was good. But that is what I love about this show is like, they do have like such insane moments like that.
Yeah.
That you won't get anywhere else.
It's true. It'd be very unfortunate if this went the way of Saved by the Bell and got the axe after season two.
Let's hope that doesn't happen. I'll be a little sad. I mean, I won't be like outraged, but I'll be sad. Who was it playing Busy Phillips' parents? I thought that was great too. That was also a fave moment because it was Amy Sedaris and Neil Flynn. I was like, these are 10 out of 10 top choice actors.
That's the janitor from Scrubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep.
He was also the dad on The Middle.
Yes.
That man has been on television for a very long time.
I know.
I love him.
Good role.
Yeah.
Good roles for him.
Yeah.
But
he's great. But yeah, no, I was like, oh, this is a good like combo of people that I enjoyed seeing be comedic together. So
yeah, very mid things coming out of Peacock for season two for these things. So
So hacks.
Yes.
Take two. Yeah. Okay, so we haven't talked about hacks before. So, okay. What are your thoughts overall? Because I do like it. I had feelings about season two. I feel like season one was a little bit better, but what are your thoughts?
I agree with you on season one being better than two, but I do. I actually liked season two because okay. I love a road trip. Anytime they do like a road trip season, I love that type of shit. Mm-hmm. So I love that they were like kind of thrown into completely different things every single episode. Mm-hmm. I loved Hannah. Is that her name on the show too?
Ava.
Okay. I'm saying the actress's name. Yeah. I loved Ava revealing to Deborah that she did all this stuff and her being all like, oh, I'm suing you for breach of your NDA.
Yeah.
She's like, this will be a great learning lesson for you. I'm like,
Was that the first episode of season two?
It was someone like within the first two episodes.
Okay, that wasn't the end of season one, right?
What, that she did that?
Yeah, that she said she was suing her.
Oh, no, that was the beginning of season. That was towards the beginning of season two.
Okay. I just couldn't remember. Because I remember they had that, like, tearful moment in the diner or whatever. Like, where she was reading her the email. She was like, I don't know. Everything they do is, like, so charged.
Like, what, between the two of these characters?
Yeah. Like, and I understand that that's the whole, like, thing of it. But I'm like, I don't know if it's emotionally. I don't know if it's sexually. I don't know if the writers are doing this on purpose. I don't know if this is just the actresses are, like, kind of leaning into it a lot. Like, but it's just, I mean, it's great.
I think it's a little bit of everything. It's very, how do I adjectivize synergy?
Synergetic?
I was about to say that. And I'm like, is that a word?
I don't know if that's a word.
It's just a very synergetic atmosphere over there, especially because I watched some of the like writer talkback things that they do after the episode.
Gotcha. Yeah.
And you know, the agent, him and his wife are like writers on the show. Yeah. So they were talking about like a lot of the stuff that they wrote for these characters and like how they wanted to portray their relationship, especially Deborah, how hurt Deborah was by this, especially since her and Ava, you know, she kind of sees Ava as a bit of a protege, because you kind of get that student master type thing going on. Because I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen one of these types of stories. This is where they're like,
right,
oh, I'm gonna send you off with this grumpy person that no one likes, and you're like, oh no, they're great. But yeah, a lot of this season was, what I enjoyed was kind of the rebuilding of their relationship, especially like that huge plot hole within their friendship and how they kind of get over that. And Ava really becomes like her champion in a sense, where she's just like, I really want to help you succeed. I want to like, well, first off, make up for being as shitty as I was, but I actually am committed to my job at this point, so I do want to help you get to where you're supposed to be, essentially do her actual job. And I also loved that Deborah wasn't locking her into being her assistant either. She wasn't keeping her hostage. She was like, you should, like, I know before, like, you went off and did that while you were trying to help me and whatnot, but you helped me and you believed in me, so I believe in you. So you should go venture out and do more.
Yeah, she gave her the old Harry and the Hendersons at the end of the season there.
I have never seen that movie.
You know, where they're like, get out of here, you big stupid, we don't love you anymore. Go home. Oh, yeah. Get out of here. It's basically what she did.
Kind of.
She's like, you stupid lesbian, get out of my life. I don't need you anymore.
You stupid bisexual. Oh my god, I love that episode when they were on the boat with the lesbian. She was just like, oh, I'm going on a gay cruise. Gays love me. And they're like, lesbian cruise.
She shows up and fucking, what's Margaret her name? Cho? Yeah, Margaret Cho was there. That was great.
I know, that she was just like, do you know where you are?
Then they all hated her. That was great.
I know, she's like, don't you love me? Don't you love me? Showing him a little shoulder, and I'm like, shoulder? Ah, yeah, nothing in seduces like a shoulder.
It's true. Nothing gets lesbians like a shoulder. Yeah, I think, I didn't dislike, I don't know. I have really complicated thoughts on this show now, after season two, I think. Because season one, I was like, okay, this is like a fun show. It's got a really interesting dynamic between two women who are very different, and like, that's cool to watch, and I like how really like how complex both of them are in different ways. You know, we there's a lot that we don't see in televisions when it comes to female characters that we're seeing on this show that I really like. There's something I don't like about Ava.
That is interesting. I thought you would like her character for some reason, but.
No, she really irritates me. I think it's the actress. I think it's something about the way the actress plays her, because I like the idea of her character. Like, she's kind of got that, like, dirtbag, bisexual, like, I can't do anything right. Like, you know.
Do you know who she reminds me of? The girl from Santa Clarita, the daughter.
The character or the actress?
The actress.
Drama World?
Yeah.
Wait, actually, they are a non-binary person.
Oh, my bad.
But,
That actor.
The actor. The actor?
X. That actor,
yeah, yeah, yeah. X. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's interesting. I would not have. I mean, they're like deadpan redheads, I guess.
They're both. Yeah. But I feel like their acting styles are very similar, because I mean, that actor is also on Yellow Jackets, and yes, while I have yet to finish that show, I've watched like 2/3 of it.
So. Yeah, I only know they're non-binary because they have a podcast with one of the other girls from Yellow Jackets. And it's called like The Queer Agenda or something like that. But I like them. I like Drama World, and I'm gonna continue to call them Drama World because they just are Drama World. I don't know. There's just really something about Ava. Like I said, I like the idea of her character. There's like something about the way the actress plays her that is, I don't know, juvenile in a way. I don't know. I guess I don't know. I don't like it. I think she's annoying. I think she's annoying. Sorry.
I have to laugh.
Where was I going with this? And my other thing about their relationship is that, like, there is that whole, like, there is an attraction there that I think it's, like they're chickening out with a lot of it. I'm like, when you have a bisexual character, she's clearly attracted to this older woman that she's hanging out with all the time. Like, I just feel like they're chickening out, like, in a way.
They're not gonna go full Sarah Paulson with it.
You know, because they had that whole, like, episode in season one where she has the sex dream, and then she's like, oh, well, it's just because she's my boss. I was like, no, it's because you're attracted to her, you big fucking dope. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's interesting to me, the dynamics that they're playing with. Because I like it, but on a certain level, I'm like, all right, well, let them fuck. Like, who cares?
Yeah, Carol made money.
Carol?
The movie the Carol. Movie? Yeah.
Oh, you're just naming a movie with lesbians. Okay.
No, wasn't that like a whole older woman, younger woman relationship dynamic as well?
Yeah, I guess she's a little older. I don't think that's the main thing of it, though.
Oh, is it not? I don't know if it was, like, the main focus, but it was, like, I thought it was some of the draw.
Oh, maybe. Maybe you're right. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. That was not one of my favorites. I mean, it's a good movie, but...
Is this a terrible time to mention? I haven't seen it. I'm going off trailers.
I'm going off trailers. I mean, that was me talking about Dog with a Blog, like, 10 minutes ago, so... it's fine that you haven't... It's fine that you haven't seen Carol. It's fine. I watched it because I was like, well, it's about queer women, so I should watch it. But it wasn't one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah, as long as I don't get a stern email after this, everything's cool.
From who?
I don't know.
Me? Like, I thought about it. And you know what? I can't believe you've never seen Carol. I watched Moonlight, so you should watch Carol.
Trade off. I tried to watch First Kill. Does that count?
Oh my god. Didn't that get canceled?
It did.
Amazing.
Do you know what storyline I did not like on Hacks this season, though? Was the assistant. I hated that.
What didn't you like? That he almost killed his dog?
Well, I didn't like that too. I thought that was a little extreme. I'm like, I think a dog can stay in an apartment by itself for a little while you go out.
I mean, it was, like, I think it was just the drugs. It was the point that he needed to reach where he was like, oh, I'm actively harming others with my behavior.
I know, but that seems so, like, extreme, though, for, like, even the storyline to be written in.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I don't like animal cruelty in general on television when they, like, use animals as, like, I don't know.
Like a learning device.
Yeah. Like, be nice to that animal.
It was just really weird because I was like, what's going on with this character? Because I'm like, I thought he already had learned this at the end of the first season, and then all of a sudden he needed to learn it again. He's like, oh, I'm going to be okay, but I'm going to take drugs. And I'm like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. I don't know.
And it didn't seem very on par with his character either.
I feel like they don't know exactly who his character is. That's kind of the feeling I got with him, especially this season, where I was like, I think he's just like, they're not entirely sure what to do with him. And they want to write storylines for him because they're like, he's a black gay character. We got to put him in there. And it's like, okay, but, like, who is he? Like, who is she, you know? Because then the other people on her team, I'm like, well, they're kind of interesting, too, but you're not, like...
doing anything with them at all.
Yeah.
Like, I expected to have a storyline with the other assistant at this point, but we got nothing. He was just there, like, one extra seat.
What's his name from Ugly Betty?
Yeah, Justin. Yeah. Was it? Justin.
That was
it was I remember because I'm hearing the mom's voice say, Justin, you be nice to my kid, okay?
That was a great show.
It was. I should rewatch that. I don't think I ever finished it. Wasn't gonna say about the guy. Yeah, what I didn't really understand was why they decided to do that with his character, because his character had already been established as someone who can find a work home life balance, and then he was like, oh, I'm going to have, like, a work home life balance.
Yeah.
And then went to, I don't know, I guess, like, still not figuring out how to do that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they kind of were like, they solved a problem with him last season, and they were like, well, let's just keep doing that, I guess.
Yeah, when really it seemed like his problem was going to be finding a romantic partner that understood that he was a workaholic. Because I feel like that's where we ended up landing, where it's like, this person just enjoys working and wants to, like, build something for themselves. So... Right, I don't think he should be held, like, made to feel bad about that, which is the weird thing that they were kind of doing with this character.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, and he was still somebody that, like, wanted... It wasn't like he didn't want a romantic partner. Like, he was, like, in love with that guy. But, like... Yeah, I think you're right. They were... It was very much that trope of, like, how dare you be a workaholic and not settle down? Like, shut up.
I know. Which is so weird because I'm like, you're gonna go through all this rigmarole to be poignant with the other storylines and then fall into a plot hole when it comes to that character.
Yeah. I mean, this is, like, exactly what we're talking about with, like, Wiki on Girls 5 Eva. It's, like, you're trying to make all these points with, like, these other characters, and then this character, you're just like, well, I'm like, okay, maybe apply critical thinking to the whole thing. I don't know.
Yeah. It's being, like, very close to making a point and then just missing it. You're like,
yeah. Yeah. What else? I do really like, well, I love Caitlin Olsen playing the daughter. She's amazing. You could put Caitlin Olsen in anything, I'd be like, she's amazing. And the woman who's, like, the poker dealer or whatever she is that then, like, Ava becomes friends with her and she's just, like, around all the time and she comes on tour with them at some point.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what her name is.
Yeah, I don't remember her name is either, but
love
her.
She has a baby. She's a kid.
Wait, she has a baby?
She's a kid. She's a daughter.
Maybe I forgot. Maybe I forgot that's part of the storyline.
I think she's not, like, she doesn't have the baby on the show. She already has it.
Mm.
She already has a kid who's, like, very young.
So much going on that show.
Because they showed the daughter in a very brief scene in season two. They actually, like, showed her. Whereas she, like, only kind of talked about her in season one.
That's really sad. I feel like I blocked that out.
You're like, mothers and daughters. Yeah, I mean, I like any storyline that's, like, a complicated mother-daughter relationship. Like, and I love that aspect of it where it's, like, you know, Deborah has this complicated relationship with her own daughter. And then she kind of, like, Ava comes in as sort of this, like, protege daughter surrogate in a lot of ways, like, that, you know, there's that whole relationship building there, where it's like, well, you're almost like, you know, you're a daughter I could have had, or, like, you're more like what I would want my daughter to be like, there, you know, there's that kind of, like, tension there, which is really, I think, interesting, especially because then she starts to, like, try to repair her relationship with Caitlin Olsen, whose name I think is Deborah Jr., right? They call her DJ because she's Deborah Jr.
Maybe. I have no idea, but that's
I love that. It's giving Gilmore Girls vibes.
I did like how Deborah was becoming a lot more supportive. She was trying to become a lot more supportive of her daughter's new lifestyle or whatever she's deciding to do now, because they've already established that she's kind of like a waif in a sense.
Yeah.
But her really trying to give that pep talk to the son-in-law when he was getting his ass kicked in the UFC thing.
Yeah.
But it really being more like a pep talk for herself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I liked that they were doing that, but I'm like, in the same sense, I'm like, is this her trying, or is she really just being like, I empathize with you, kid, because we've both been down and out.
Well, I think it was like, that was the point of it, was like, she is in a way trying, but she's also just like very inherently selfish and self-involved. Yeah, she needs to feel like she's fulfilled all the time, and she's not like, that doesn't come from other people to her, it's like, it's just all about like her success. You know, they had the whole episode with the woman from her past, who was like another female comic, and she like thought she like ruined her career or whatever. And then the woman was like, no, it was because you were being a shitty mom. I didn't want to do that. So yeah, I mean, I love Deborah. That's the thing. Like, I love Deborah. Just Ava annoys me, and their dynamic, I think, could, I don't know.
It could work for you if it were a different actress.
Probably, maybe. I don't know. It'd be interesting if it was a different actress playing her, if I would feel the same way. I don't know.
Well, that wraps up this episode, I feel.
Yeah.
We covered all the things. Rutherford, Girls, and Hacks.
All the season 2s.
Yes. The only one that we do know is definitely going into season 3 is Hacks.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two are very up in the air. I don't know. You know, Tina Fey joints don't hit like they used to, so.
I mean, they're good shows. I like them. I have thoughts on them, but I like them all. I think it's good television.
Like, yeah, sometimes you have a. Sometimes you just have a little sophomore slump. It happens to a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
It's honestly a huge pitfall. I haven't seen this in a while, though. Usually, I feel like they bring up after season 2, and then, I don't know, for whatever reason, they get canceled. You're like, oh, that was a really good season. Canceled. I'm like, why?
I feel like the sophomore slump was mostly because seasons were longer, though. So, like, now, yeah. Like, they're more condensed, so, like, they're able to, like, do, like, more concise storylines in seasons, so you don't see the sophomore slump as much as you used to, where it was like, well, we have all this great stuff that planned out for season 1, and then they get a season 2, and they have 24 episodes to fill, and they're like, ooh, okay, what if we went over here?
What if we went to the beach?
Every show should have a beach episode.
An anime beach episode.
Good for character building.
It's always what it's for.
What are we going to do next time?
Love is Blind.
Oh boy.
US and Japan.
I was going to say another season 2. Yeah, and we're also going to talk about Japan because I was obsessed with Japan. Okay, great.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time.
Once I remember who the casts were.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's been a while since we watched it, so now we have to refresh.
Yeah.
And get back.
And we will be back once we are refreshed.
Yes. Mm-mm. As always, thanks for listening, guys. Bye.
Thanks, guys. Bye.